Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Do a level check.
Can you do a level check? Oops.
Hello?
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Is this
good.
Cecile?
Yes, this is Cecile.
Hey, good afternoon, Cecile. This is Jed. We're speaking. We have done an interview before when you came to Atlanta in the Rialto Theater.
Yes.
How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing good. I like your new release.
Thank you very much.
You took a different direction.
Slightly, I suppose.
Slightly? No, you did more than slightly on Dreams and Daggers. One of the things I really like, ladies and gentlemen, this is Cecile McLaurin-Salvant. She has won many awards, and I have to announce you to the audience, by the way. Grammy Award, Best Jazz Vocal Album for The One to Love, Female Vocalist of the Year, 2015 Jazz Journalist of the Year, and you continue to climb the charts. And I just want to congratulate you first, okay? Then we can talk about this Dreams and Daggers. What was the inspiration for this particular release?
Well, it started off as sort of a mix between two ideas, almost a compromise. I had performed with a string quartet in the early part of 2016, and I knew I wanted to record with them, but I didn't know how and in what capacity. And then a few months later, I got offered a week at the Village Vanguard, which is a huge deal and was a huge deal for me. And I was so excited. And I knew I wanted to record there, if anything, just to keep the memory of having been there. And I knew I wanted to also do the string quartet. And I started to play with the idea of mixing those two textures together in my mind and figuring out how they could complement each other and balance each other. And then the album came about because we had been touring for a few years with some new repertoire developing, and there were a lot of songs that I wanted to record from that. And it was a really, really fun process.
You know, often when I listen to you, I envision what your thought process, because you have a totally different voice and you're one of the best vocalists, as a Wynton Marsalis quote. And it's interesting, you're still very young and you emulate yourself, but you carry it to another level in terms of, I hear Billie Holiday in you, Sarah Vaughan. Have you studied a lot of these artists, or is it just you?
I consider myself a listener before anything. I consider myself to be someone who just appreciates and loves art, and that's sort of where I feel the most comfortable, listening to music or looking at a beautiful sculpture, a beautiful piece of art. Someone like Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, Blossom Dearie, Blanche Calloway, Louis Armstrong, Betty Carter. Those people I listen to obsessively. I don't even know if you can say I studied them, because it was such a pleasure and a joy to listen to them over and over and over again. I never did it out of a feeling of duty or a feeling like I needed to learn something from them. I just did it because I felt like they were giving me so much, you know, just emotionally. It fed my soul to listen and to continue to listen to some of these artists.
As a person that is bilingual and has an heritage from Haiti, how do you infuse that into your music culturally?
Well, I think, first and foremost, the fact that I have parents who are immigrants is part of the reason that I got into jazz. And my mother appreciated jazz in a way that that someone who's not American appreciates jazz, if that makes any sense. And I started singing jazz in France with French musicians. My father listens to a lot of jazz music and Haitian music, and he has that appreciation for instrumental music and dance music and the function of music as this kind of federating thing. And I think speaking another language certainly has been helpful when I've been performing in France, because I sing now in French when I go there. It's really important for me to be able to have that connection with an audience, to be able to feel like I'm speaking to them.
Yeah, that was one of the main reasons I asked you the question, because you have to switch in your mind to not necessarily adapt to the culture, but so they get the feeling that it's for them in another language. And it's an advantage in being bilingual. It makes a major difference to me that people speak to me in English or even in Spanish, or something that I understand. But in your music, mm-hmm. you've had the ability to transcend time and space. And that's instinctively, right?
Thank you. I'll just say thank you to that one, because that's very sweet of you to say. It doesn't always feel like that for me. So thank you.
You know, in observing you live, when you came to Atlanta, you had this feeling that you infused into your audience. And I know you may not realize it because you're the one that is singing, but I feel that you have something to give that's very pure, that a lot of times in this music business and commercial business, you don't get. You know, you're a very humble vocalist that gives from the heart. And that makes a difference to listeners and the music that you put. And you speak of amour lovers, and you're young. How do you project that, you know, that you get? Is it from France? That, you know, France is, you know, always speaks about love and romance. Is that where it comes from?
I'm not sure. I think I've always been, you know, from a young age, been really fascinated with how we love and who we love and how we treat each other when we fall in love and how we fall out of love, and, you know, the kind of idea that it's this sort of impossible feat that sometimes feels quite doomed, that requires a lot of work. And it's also, you know, the stuff of songs. I mean, so many songs are written about love. And you wonder, sometimes I wonder why, you know, it's fascinating to me that I think that's the most popular topic for songs is love and lost love and unrequited love and new love and secret love.
and unconditional love.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we rise in love and we fall in love. And that's one of the most popular aspects of love. You know, I just am amazed at how many love songs have been produced. But you did a song on your other relief, Wives and Lovers, and you and you flipped it. You gave it grace. You know, you gave it grace. You know, and the same thing with this, with the new release. So I applaud you, and I just want to thank you so much for giving a different interpretation of life, and that makes a difference because it's complicated enough. and
thank
I want,
you so much.
No, it's real from the heart. Cecile, I wish you the best. We look forward to you coming back to Atlanta. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Cecile McLaurin-Salvant. And do you have any final words?
I just want to say I'm really, really excited to come back because it was such a great time last time, and I'm really happy that you have me here today.
And I thank you very much for taking the time in your busy schedule to grace the audience of Jazz Tones and WCLK. And I give you the best in your career, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right, best to you.
Take care, Cecile. Peace.
Take care.